welcome to Ravens Among Us on Daytha.com. I am your host, Daytha Hewlin. Ravens Among Us features conversations with people and organizations who are making a difference in the lives of others. Listen to be inspired, encouraged, and entertained by their stories. Meet the Ravens Among Us on Daytha.com.
I've come to a firm belief that we are all God's kids with special needs.
It has such a beautiful impact on their lives.
We are here to celebrate these kids, and we are here to dream with them what is possible for them.
Different, but not less.
I am super excited to introduce you to Julie Carr, founder of Legacy of Hope, and her daughter McKenna Carr, director of To Dance to Dream, a program offered by Legacy of Hope. Their story is unique and beautiful, and they are incredibly adept at articulating their passion for the work they do with the special needs community. I feel certain you'll be moved by what they have to say. Here are Julie and McKenna Carr. McKenna and Julie, thank you so much for visiting with me and letting me into your home. It's really nice to get together.
That's awesome.
I would like to ask you, what is Legacy of Hope?
Legacy of Hope is a nonprofit, a 501c3, and our mission is to provide arts experiences and really fun life experiences, and also a date night for parents, for families with children with special needs. And that's expanded now to where we also offer a lot of that for individuals of all ages with different abilities.
When was Legacy of Hope founded?
We initially began in 2010. It was really a really wonderful way that it all began. I have a dear friend who called me and had access to someone who really was wanting to make a financial contribution to the community of Austin and did not want it to be something that was brick and mortar, wanted to do something for the community that was going to be different. So this friend, who was the connector, who was the contact between the two of us, contacted me and said, if you could do anything for the community of Austin, what would it be? And I said, oh, I tell you what I would do. I would make sure that there were inclusive classes for children with disabilities to experience dance. I would make sure that there were opportunities for mom and dad to get out. I would make sure all these different kinds of things that would be available, because we, within our eight children, have two who have special needs. One has hearing loss and one had a stroke at birth. And so it's resulted in what's called left side hemiplegia in her situation. The stroke occurred on the right side of the brain. The right side of the brain controls the left side of the body. We have become very aware of some of the challenges, some of the prejudice against children with disabilities, the financial realities of what it takes to pay all those co-pays for therapy and different equipment and hearing aids and all those kinds of things. And a lot of times at the end of the day, there's not ancillary income left over for things like dance lessons and horseback riding and things of that nature. And so I told this friend that's what I would do if somebody just magically showed up with a grant that they wanted to bestow in order to impact the community of Austin. And a few months later was contacted back and said, well, this particular foundation has accepted your vision. And so that's how we got kicked off in 2010. So now we continue to do fundraising and we continue to have special events and things of that nature, along with private contributors who've been just so amazing and so willing to come alongside in this endeavor.
That's great. I want to focus predominantly on To Dance to Dream, because I think we could spend a really long time talking about all of them. But before we move on, can you tell me more about the different programs that you offer? You offer To Dance to Dream, To Ride to Dream, and To Night to Dream.
So I'll talk about To Ride to Dream and To Night to Dream, and then I'll let McKenna tell you more about To Dance to Dream. To Ride to Dream is one of our newest endeavors, and it is an opportunity for children with special needs to be able to ride on horses in a very controlled environment, a really friendly environment, a well-trained environment in the Dripping Springs area. We're also looking at bringing horses to various locations and venues for children with special needs to be able to experience the wonder of horses in that way as well. Tonight to Dream is an endeavor that we've had going on since the inception of Legacy of Hope. And it provides once a month a date night out for parents of children with special needs. One of the statistics that we became aware of is that, unfortunately, for parents who have a child with special needs, the divorce rate is estimated to be around 90 to 92%. And it's very difficult to actually get out and go on a date night if you have a child who's medically fragile or who requires a certain level of expertise in understanding how to work with whatever their their challenge might be. And so we've been able to secure just a fantastic pediatric RN who specializes in working with children with special needs, who's very acquainted with any of the medical needs that might come up and also behavioral. And she's just been wonderful. And so we offer that once a month date night for those parents free of charge to them. And they can drop off their children and go have a 2.5-3 hour date and come back and pick up their kids. And they can know that they have left their child in the care of someone who is prepared to be able to deal with that.
So is she the only person who watches the children?
No, she oversees a team of volunteers okay. who are all there. So
they're all volunteers. That's really amazing.
It's really powerful. So To Dance to Dream.
So To Dance to Dream is a dance program that is specifically tailored to individuals with special needs. And we offer dance for all ages and all abilities. So I believe we have students as young as 2, and we have students who are up nearing their 30s. And we would take older as well. And we have kiddos who have, you know, diagnosis anywhere from autism to cerebral palsy or mitochondrial diseases. Really, we try to be an open door organization and take any kids that would like to dance, and we really try to make it work.
That's great. How do they qualify to participate?
Well, based on the description of a disability, based on the Americans with Disabilities Act, they either have a diagnosis or they are known for having a condition. Then they qualify for the program.
So far, while all of the programs have been successful, to Julia McKenna's surprise, To Dance to Dream is the most popular. That's probably due in large part to the fact that McKenna is a professional dancer, so she knows her stuff. I think it's worth pointing out here that Julie brought McKenna in when McKenna was only 16 years old. Also noteworthy is the purpose behind the titles To Dance to Dream, To Ride to Dream, and Tonight to Dream.
I wanted to help create vision for families with children with special needs. One of the things that you discover when you become the parent of a child with special needs is the dreams that you thought you had for that child are going to be changed. Some parents never find their dream again for their child. Some parents are heroic in the development of a new dream for that child. And so I really wanted to traffic on that idea that no matter what the endeavor, no matter which program, we are here to celebrate these kids, and we are here to dream with them what is possible for them. Instead of the way that a lot of our secular world can look at things and talk about what they can't do, we want to talk about what they can do, and we want to dream toward that. So that's really where the moniker To Dream came from. So whatever the endeavor is, the ability to attach that to a new dream for those families, a new vision for those families. So that's the base of the origin of where that moniker came from.
What are the dance classes like then, McKenna? We have several different levels. And one thing that we learned early on is that you can't base level off of age group. Because, you know, you could have a very high-functioning individual or a lower-functioning individual. You could have an individual that is verbal or nonverbal, and that really is not based off of age. So we've created a new level system, and based on our leveling system, we create classes around that. So we have our lower level, or, you know, younger, more beginner level, then we have an intermediate, and then an advanced level. And each class is a little bit different, but we try to make sure that exercises in the class include practice for skills like social interaction, skills like crossing the hemispheres of the brain and connecting the two hemispheres, integrating reflexes, as well as just some really, really important motor skills like jumping and reaching and bending and balancing, things like that.
And how did you come up with the curriculum?
The curriculum has... You know, it's funny, I grew up dancing, and so there's obviously the body awareness and some general fitness understanding there, but I also had the opportunity the year before starting the program to shadow a physical therapist and an occupational therapist. And I did it simply out of curiosity, because I just thought it was so interesting, not knowing that it was preparing me for what was getting ready to begin the next year. And I have just remained so curious about all of those things. So over the years, I continue to do a little bit of research or, you know, if I ever had an injury, dealing with that injury and learning new things about my body and the way that the body works, I would then apply that to classes. So it's been a gradual process Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. And so do you put kids together based on their needs or just experience level?
I think that the two kind of go hand in hand. So our dancers who've been dancing for, you know, our dancers who've been dancing since they were 2 or 3 years old and are now in their teens typically will be in our more advanced level. I think it really depends on needs as well, though. Our kids who need a lot more assistance, they have a shorter attention span. Perhaps they are more easily overstimulated by loud music or a lot of social interaction. Those kiddos typically will be in our lower level, and we have assistants and volunteers who are educated in terms of correct assistance for those kiddos. Mm-hmm. So I think it goes hand in hand, both based on needs and based on experience.
Do you meet with the parents before their child comes into the classroom the first time and kind of find out where they are and what their needs, specific needs are?
You know, we typically don't. We had talked about that in the past, but what we do is in the paperwork, we ask some very specific questions. We ask about maybe a physical activity that could overstimulate the child. We ask about specific things that they would like the teacher to know before the child goes into class. So we do collect some information that way in the paperwork before the child enters the classroom.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So some people might say that children with disabilities can't dance. So what is your response to that?
I think that it depends on a person's construct of what dance is. What dance is to me is it is a personal expression by using physical movement. So underneath that description, anybody can dance, whether that means that they're on wheels, whether that means they're paralyzed in a bed, whether that means that they have full mobility of their entire body. As long as it is a form of self-expression, either to music or without music, but there's some kind of movement that's happening, then that's what dance is. So, for example, I have some kiddos who are on wheels, and they, you know, may not approach a leg movement the same way because perhaps their legs are paralyzed. If that's the case, I encourage them to either tell me, Miss McKenna, I need help, this is hard, or if they're unable to do it because their legs are paralyzed and they don't have any mobility, then I'll say, all right, let's find your way to do it. So in my opinion, anybody of any ability level is capable of dancing.
And additionally, what we've also found is we have several children who really have such minimal movement that there might be those who would say, well, I don't even see that maybe that child can really move. But what we found is we have kids who can smile bigger than Christmas. And we have children that, if needed, we can get a buddy involved to help them make movement of arms or legs or whatever. And they so enjoy that, and there's such a response to that. So even if it takes some aid to create movement whatsoever, that is still dance. And it's the dance between the child's buddy. Most of the children have an assigned buddy. It's the dance between that buddy and that child. So that solidifies our belief that anyone can dance.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
I couldn't help but wonder how long they've had this perception of dance or where it came from. It turns out that McKenna had the idea as early as middle school to teach dance to children with special needs. She just didn't know exactly when or how that would happen. As you'll hear next, having family members with special needs made a real impact on McKenna and Julie pretty early on.
We also had an experience that I think was a seed for a lot of this. One of my daughters is hearing impaired. And when she was about 3.5 years old, she was in a dance class. And another child in the dance class kept trying to pull at her hearing aids and pull at the strap on her hearing aids. And we had so inculcated into my daughter, Macy, don't let anybody touch your hearing aids, because it's sort of like putting a 5-carat diamond tennis bracelet on a toddler and sending him out to play in a sandbox. I mean, it's extremely expensive equipment. Typically, hearing aids are not covered by insurance, and there's not usually a way to insure them even through your homeowner's policy. So you've got these thousands of dollars technology on these little kids. And so we had really worked with Macy on saying, don't let anybody touch your hearing aids. So this one child in her dance class, when she was little, kept trying to mess with her hearing aids, and Macy kept giving her the strong arm, like, don't touch my hearing aids. But Macy at that point was not communicating very well. And it just burgeoned into this drama to where the mother of the child who continued to try to mess with Macy's hearing aids finally, in great anger, said that your child has no place in this dance class anyway. Why is my kid having to dance with some kid who can't hear? And in that way that the Lord can take something really nasty and make it something so powerful, McKenna had a front row seat to that entire experience. I had even more than a front row seat and was in the boxing ring in it. And for both of us, I think there was just this sense of, look, we all need to grow up and just be much more inclusive of everyone. This is a 3.5-year-old dance class. How are we making statements like this about who should and who should not be included?
Yeah.
And so I think McKenna seeing that, McKenna, at the time you were maybe 9 or 10.
Yeah. You know, and I had forgotten about that, but no, that really did establish a huge burden for advocacy. It really did. I remember that. Yeah.
And once my daughter Mercy was born, who's one of the twins, she's 8, and when we realized that she had had a stroke at birth, and we saw her so much wanting to be involved in the things that her 4 older sisters were involved in, and dance and activities like that, that became another place too that I think we felt that it was really needed to begin to create experiences like that. There's a quote by a person that we saw who has a partial arm, who said that part of her goal is to tell people, okay, it's okay to stare. Like, stare. Get it out of your system. We're created to notice differences. That's okay. But let's go ahead and get the staring and the questions out of the way, and then let's move on to relationship. Let's move on to opportunity. Let's move on to performance. And so that's part of it, too, is just to say, okay, everybody, fine. You're not comfortable. All right, now let's work on that now. Let's move on to a much more inclusive experience. And that has definitely been what we have seen.
It is amazing that Legacy of Hope and To Dance to Dream provide an opportunity for families and students to find a more inclusive experience. The experience and the vision of To Dance to Dream is spreading. They now have a participating studio in Tennessee, so between Texas and Tennessee, they offer 10 classes spread out over Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And what's really fun is the dancers have opportunities to dance together outside of the studio.
So do the kids have live performances?
They do. We typically
have... not all kids, so maybe I shouldn't say kids. To the
dancers.
Students,
yeah, dancers. The dancers. Mm-hmm. Yes, so our dancers do have at least 2 performances a year. We have a big annual performance with all the campuses coming together in Austin. And hopefully in the future we'll have one in Tennessee as well. And then each of the classes performs in the recital for the studio that donates space to our program.
We also have a performance company now who will be performing at Immerse Austin, which is a big women's conference that I help co-produce, and I'll be speaking at this year. We have Anita Renfro coming, Ellie Holcomb. And so our performance company from To Dance to Dream will be coming out and performing that evening as well at a brand new venue here in Austin called the Life Austin Amphitheater. And they're very, very excited to get to do that.
We are
thrilled to get to see them do that.
It's great to have that stage available.
Yes, it's been a really sweet partnership.
I want to take an aside moment here to explain, in case clarity is needed, that the performance company Julie is speaking of is comprised of To Dance to Dream dancers. One of the dancers this year is Julie's daughter, Mercy Carr.
And then we're really excited because within the dance world, there is the competitions that go on within dance. And we are receiving invitations for our performance company to come compete, which we think is just spectacular. Because again, it begins to really get that message across that dance is for everyone. And the response when people see our dancers come out and just celebrate and do their thing is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited to get to see them compete more and more in the future.
So will they be competing with other kids with special needs?
Not that we're aware of. Mm-hmm. They will be right in the flow with children that we would call neurotypical. And they will be able to come out and just like all the rest of the kids, present what they've learned and be in their costumes and show off their skills.
So what does Legacy of Hope do for you, Julie? What does To Dance to Dream do for you, McKenna? I'd like to hear a little bit about what it does for you personally.
Well, you know, you don't always get the why behind some of the harder questions in your life. And so when we discovered that my daughter Macy had hearing loss, when we discovered that Mercy had experienced a stroke at birth, you can't help but go there. Just why? Why this? And you realize there are harder things that other people go through, and you realize you have a lot to be grateful for, and you don't want to get stuck in a place of complaining or doubt. But there is still that resounding question of, okay, but what is the purpose of this? And for me, it has been so profound to take those experiences with my children and to see a why develop out of it. Had I not really delved deeply into the special needs community, I wouldn't have realized more completely some of the prejudice, some of the challenges, some of the simple just unawareness that people have when it comes to that community. And I wouldn't have been aware of some of the statistics that family life is so disrupted for a lot of families with special needs children. I wouldn't have been aware of the fiscal realities and sometimes insurmountable challenges that occur for families. And I remember the first time that To Dance to Dream was able to perform at our inaugural Immerse event. And we were in a huge venue and we had 1,500 people there. And we had this one student that McKenna had gotten trained to a place that she felt like she could handle a solo. And this little girl came out, and McKenna came out with her, and they performed and the place went nuts. And it was that why moment. I finally got a little glimpse, a little glimmer of the why. And it was to be the steward of a larger story. And the sense of gratitude to be able to carry that story, the sense of responsibility to carry that story, the sense of stewardship to carry that story was just overwhelming in the best kind of way. It's been a really powerful thing. And it's also been awesome because it's completely transformed my idea of what normal is supposed to be. I've come to a firm belief that we are all God's kids with special needs. All of us have those challenges in our temperaments and our personalities. Maybe we don't have it cognitively, maybe we don't have it physically, but all of us have challenges and things that we are working through. And so I have just loved how, in the best way possible, my idea of normal is completely shattered. And it's really about being extraordinary and being original. And that, I think, is really God's vision for each of us if we will embrace it instead of just being a cookie cutter.
That's great. What about you, McKenna?
There are several different things that really spur my passion for continuing this program. One of the first one that comes to mind is I recently talked with a friend who is an occupational therapist, and she worked in the school district for several years. And the school district is doing a great job, and there are some wonderful special ed teachers. But it still is put on the back burner, I think, because it requires so much time and so much specific modification for each individual child. And so in talking with my friend, she said, "I can't tell you how special it is to see that these kids are not only given opportunity for dance class, but that they are also intentionally celebrated and that they're in an environment that does not focus on the fact that they have a lack of an ability." And that really has stuck with me, just knowing that this opportunity is so meaningful in the sense that these kids don't get included in birthday parties whenever the other kids in their class hand out invitations. Typically. That, I think that's changing, but in the past, that's the way that it's been. Or at school functions, they typically are brought in, but they have to stay at the back and they have to stay quiet. And if they're not, they have to leave. And I understand why we are at that place, but I think that it's so important to recognize that if we will, like my mom was saying, change what our concept of normal is, and if we would be willing to make some simple modifications for these kids, it has such a beautiful impact on their lives. Additionally, a lot of discrimination against people who have some kind of disability or some kind of special need simply comes out of a person being uncomfortable or not knowing how to approach a person with special needs. And so I love the fact that our kids are at those dance studios every week. We have five now. The people who are in the lobbies or the other kids who are in classes next door to our To Dance to Dream classes get to see them, get to know them, get to meet them and learn their personalities, and to recognize that even though there may be some initial discomfort because they don't know how to approach that person, they're just like everybody else, and they can approach them and talk with them and laugh with them and make jokes, but it will just be in a different way, you know? So different, but not less. Also, I recently heard a story from a dad who has a daughter with special needs, and he said that when she was born, she had a difficult birth process. And he went over and read the clipboard at the end of her hospital bed shortly after she was born, or in the NICU, I believe. And the clipboard said, leaving a note to another nurse or doctor, said, "The parents understand that their daughter will not have a meaningful life." And he talked about the fact that over the course of his life and over the course of experiencing life with his daughter, he's recognized that there's not a lack of meaningfulness. There's not a lack of purpose. There's not a lack of joy or fulfillment in life. It's just that it looks different. I love working with To Dance to Dream, and I love putting these kids on stage and putting them on a platform, because I think that it causes everybody who's watching to understand that it's not a lack of, it's a fullness, but just in a different way.
An unexpected outcome of the Legacy of Hope and To Dance to Dream story is the impact it has had on volunteers. Most of them are teenagers, and they have made decisions that affect their entire lives because of their experience with the foundation.
Those were some stories that we had not anticipated. We have seen these volunteers grow tremendously in their maturity, in their vision, in their understanding of a larger world by working with our To Dance to Dream dancers.
Volunteers have decided to attend college and go into fields like physical therapy, occupational therapy, advocacy, and social work. The To Dance to Dream experience is fertile training ground for compassion and purpose.
It's become this very prestigious thing to be part of the buddies available to the To Dance to Dream dancers.
It's such an incredible, concentrated, and in-depth opportunity for mentorship and leadership.
The volunteers often share with McKenna that this opportunity has changed their worldview and has shaped the people they have become. The transformations that occur are, in Julie's words,
absolutely fascinating. It's just a chapter to the book that did not start out as part of the original vision.
And what about the children and the families? What do they tell you? What do they say that they get out of it?
I actually had a parent who pulled me aside one day and said, "Thank you so much." She said, "My daughter does not get invited to birthday parties. My daughter doesn't have play dates. My daughter doesn't get to go to the school parties because it would require somebody being there with her constantly and caring for her and making sure that she's not getting overwhelmed." And she said, "You have no idea how excited she is to come to dance class and to see her friends." And I think one thing that we didn't really expect is that it builds such a beautiful community. The parents in the lobby begin talking, or they have 45 minutes to run to the grocery store and just take a moment by themselves. And the kids build really neat relationships with each other. We have a class that it technically is too big. We have so many kids in there. We have over 10, and they're all teenagers, and they love to talk a million miles an hour. So they're technically too big, and we've talked time and time again about splitting it in half, but they would be so sad to leave each other, so we can't do it. We just have decided to bring in more volunteers and make it work because they adore being with each other every week.
I think another thing that we've seen come out of it with parents and children, and then those who are also adults within the program, that has been very compelling is that they are able to participate in something in which their child is celebrated and their child is given public platform. We have interviewed the parents. We have videos that we've done and that kind of thing. And on those videos, what is discussed over and over is the power of that for those families. And we've been so delighted to see that that's been an offshoot of their experience as well.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
We have a trophy ceremony that truly makes the Olympics look a little anemic. I mean, these kids just go wild.
They get a trophy every year.
This is another thing that we do. We have the various dance schools donate a lot of these kids who are in more of the neurotypical competition cycle and all that, get gajillions of trophies. We have them donate those, and we have a local trophy shop here who has donated their services to replate all of those trophies. And it's become something of a really neat tradition that you turn over the trophies that, you know, may have some meaning to you to go on to benefit someone else. And so that trophy ceremony is pretty spectacular.
It really is. Yeah.
So what are your future goals for To Dance to Dream and for Legacy of Hope overall?
We have a lot of teachers, both in the Austin area and in surrounding cities and as well as some other states, that are interested in training with us and opening a program at their studio. So we're trying to put together some online resources for that to make it very convenient for teachers to come in and to get the education that they need in order to serve this population and provide these classes. So to that end, I would love to see To Dance to Dream expand, to be in every major city, to be in every state. I also have some friends in Africa because I have traveled there in the past, and I'm beginning some conversation with them about traveling there and setting up some programs in some inner city schools as well as some orphanages there. Part of my life mission statement is to make dance and the arts accessible to all people, all abilities, from all backgrounds.
I hope that you do it.
Thank you. Me too.
And what about you, Julie? Do you have bigger, different dreams for Legacy of Hope?
I, like McKenna, want to continue to see all the programs expand. And I love what Special Olympics has been able to do. I would love to see, particularly To Dance to Dream, do that for the arts. We're making forays into some theatrical and stage productions and with really phenomenal results. And so that's another aspect that we're beginning to explore a little bit. And I, like McKenna, would love to see this go national and then international, and to help people really grab that vision and to see it and to see what it can do. We don't at all posit the efforts that we're making to be therapy necessarily. What we do find, though, is phenomenal benefit. We had a child who doctors had said would probably not walk, who began walking in a To Dance to Dream class because of the motivation of that music and the group environment. We have children who doctors have said would probably not speak or communicate, who did begin speaking and communicating. We've had children who parents have never seen smile, children on the autism spectrum, who have smiled for the first time in our classes. And again, not because we're necessarily trying to get those results. We're just creating an environment where children and individuals of all abilities are able to explore their creative sides. And I think because we come from a creative maker, all of us have that creative spark. And so when you create opportunity for anyone of any ability to explore that part of their makeup, you can see some incredible things begin to happen that you never could have predicted or that medical science tells us isn't possible. We see some things that are just absolutely amazing. So to be able to continue that, for Tonight to Dream, to continue to hopefully create moments of respite for families, a place of Sabbath for parents, is something that's really important to us. And then with To Ride to Dream, as we really get that ready to launch, it really is remarkable the magic that happens when you combine some of God's amazing creatures with kids who otherwise would not be able to ride. There are equipment purchases we're making and that kind of thing to make sure that we have everything ready for those kids. We already have a couple of special saddles that have been designed and that kind of thing. And there's something really amazing that happens in that moment too, to get on the back of an incredible creature like a horse and to get outside and to have a different kind of mobility and a different kind of perspective than you've ever had. So we would love to see all of those programs be offered first, of course, within what we adore, the city we love called Austin, but then to continue that vision on out in circles into further communities.
That's great. You both have busy lives outside of this. McKenna, Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 21.
You're 21. Yeah. Okay. Are you going to college right now?
I am. I'm going to school online. I'm okay. Also, I work at a local studio called Balanced Dance Studios, and I'm the director of two of their programs there. And then I also am dancing professionally and continuing to train in that area.
And what about you, Julie? You have 8 children.
I'm a wife to Michael and a mother of 8 kids ranging in age from 24 down to 8-year-old twins. McKenna is my second born. I am a pastor at Life Austin and I am an author. I have a book coming out in August of 2016 called Raising an Original. It'll be released by HarperCollins Zondervan. I'm an audiobook narrator and have a background in television and radio. And so I'm also a blogger for Spirit 105.9 and work with a variety of freelance jobs with different clients for different media constructs, anything from on-camera to voiceover work to video production to marketing planning, those kinds of things.
Wow. You have a fun and busy life.
It's a little crazy.
You're both very creative people.
It's a little crazy.
So in the midst of all of that, what can other people do to help your vision grow?
At the very least, if somebody wants to be involved but doesn't have necessarily monetary resources to give or time to give, one of the very basic things that they can do that helps us a lot is to go on our social media and share posts that they find really, really inspiring or that they agree with. That just continues to help spread the word. And beyond that, we are always looking for more volunteers. We do have a small training process that they go through, so no dance experience, no special education experience is required leading up to that. And in general, if someone has the ability to come to one of our events, we need audience members who are going to clap and cheer so that these kids continue to feel celebrated and feel like they had their moment on stage.
The other thing that really does help us is for individuals and corporations to make financial donations. You know, there may be someone listening that this is laid on their heart as something they want to explore. We are excited with the various corporate sponsorships that we're beginning to experience. And of course, any of that is a tax-exempt donation, any of those kinds of finances. McKenna is receiving quite a bit of attention, even within national media, for this program. As To Dance to Dream is garnering some more attention for its work, those who provide corporate sponsorships, I just love that we're able to give something back to them as well, which is a little bit more of community and national awareness for their willingness to vest into this vision for the arts for everyone. All of the funding that we receive goes for the training and the supplementation of the programs, not to buildings. What we have chosen to do is we work out of donated space. We have to give a huge shout out. Our campuses donate their space to us for us to be able to hold these classes.
Yeah, and because of the donation of space by Balanced Dance Studio, The Dance Spot, Elisa's Dance Academy, Evolution Dance Center, and The Dance Star, we're able to provide dance for these students where it really is only a couple of dollars per student.
Balanced Dance Studio is currently housing all of our huge costume archive that we have, and we provide dance costumes and shoes and all of that to the children as well, because it's important to us that these dance classes be provided as best as possible at no cost to the families. With the Tonight to Dream program, our space is donated by a local church here called Life Austin. And for the To Ride to Dream program, that corral and housing for the horses is also provided by someone. So that has been really exciting to see that we have been able to find people who are willing to believe in the vision, who go along financially or who go along with the resources, the space that we need to make these things happen.
Okay. Yeah.
This is kind of going in a different direction, but the fact that you guys are doing this primarily with donations, with very little overhead, it just shows that people really can make a difference if they are determined to do that.
Correct, correct.
So that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been educational for me and hopefully for listeners.
Good.
And it's been motivational and enjoyable. So I really appreciate your time.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That concludes this episode of Ravens Among Us. Many thanks to McKenna and Julie. You can find out more about their programs and performances by visiting legacyofhope.org or todancetodream.org. And that's with the digit 2 instead of the word 2. Thank you for listening. Until next time, God bless you all.